Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up, I remember that my grandmother once took my family to the Field Museum in Chicago to see a special exhibit. You ever been to that museum before? It's a very nice place to go to. But what was that special exhibit in town? It was an exhibit on King Tut's treasures and other mummies of Egypt, and it was an amazing exhibit that I'll never forget. The exhibit displayed some real shriveled and dried up mummies wrapped in their cloths. They showed their golden, intricate, and ornate treasures that they would be buried with. And they displayed some of the marvelous sarcophaguses, which are those coffins that mummies are buried in. But best of all, they showed King Tut's famous golden mask. It's a magnificent work of art and really one of the wonders of the world. And I remember just standing in front of the glass case that it was in and just being overwhelmed by awe and amazement of what I saw. Have you ever had one of those moments? Have you ever had one of those moments where you are just overcome by awe and amazement by what you have seen or maybe endured? Maybe that happened at the birth of a child or when your spouse walked down the aisle on your wedding day. Maybe you experienced that wonder when you saw the Rocky Mountains for the first time, or maybe when you went to the Grand Canyon. Maybe you were filled with awe at seeing something like the Sistine Chapel or the Cathedral or a piece of art at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Perhaps it happened when someone gave you a special and thoughtful gift, or maybe when you had a wonderful evening with a good friend. At one point or another, we've all had those moments in life where we are just overcome by awe and amazement. And in 1 John chapter 3, we see John marveling at something. John the Apostle is still amazed by this some 60 years later. He still can't believe it. And what is he amazed about? What is he overcome and speechless by? He says in verse 1, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." John is still standing in awe 60 years later about the love that God has given to him and to all of his people. He's still speechless by this. And as we reflect on the departed saints today and give thanks for them, we marvel with John about this wonderful truth. They were God's children just as we are. And as we stand with him in awe and wonder, it's best to really break this verse down in the chunks so we get the full force of it. John says, "See, see." He's not giving an invitation, but he's giving a command. John wants us to slow down and to stop what we are doing. He wants us to pump the brakes, so to say. He wants us to focus and engage. He wants us to grasp what he is going to tell us. And why does he want us to do this? It's because so often in life we get distracted and pulled in so many directions. Surveys say that Americans work more now than ever before. People can be busier in retirement than when they worked. Our hobbies and times of relaxation might distract us from God's word, or maybe have us put it off to a later time that just never comes. We can be bothered by stress or held captive to our schedule. The kids have baseball practice, the house needs to be clean, the yard needs to be raked, and soon, very soon, the driveway will need to be shoveled, snow will be coming. But John also wants us to see, because we can also forget. We need to be reminded of what John is going to say. There's an old story of a person asking Martin Luther one time after church, "Martin, why do you preach the gospel to us week after week? Can't you talk about something else?" And to that he replied, "Because week after week, you forget it." And we're not any different. We all need to be reminded of this and to have this truth always set before us. We can't forget the wonder and awe of it. And so what does John want us to see? He says, what kind? What kind? He isn't asking a question here, but he's making a statement. The Greek word potipain is used to describe something indescribable and tries to capture a sense of wonder. It's like standing before King Tut's mask, seeing that work of art, witnessing the miracle of life, or having that special moment with a friend. And while the word does mean what kind, it can also mean what manner, how glorious, how amazing, how wonderful. The word carries with it the idea that what is described is of a quantity and quality beyond compare. What is that thing beyond compare? God's love. And the word that John uses for love is a special word. The Greeks have four words for love, and the one that John uses is agape, the highest form of love. It's an unconditional love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a spontaneous and creative love. It's an action love. It's a love that took on flesh for you. It's a love that hungered and thirsted and suffered and lived for you. It's a love that bore your sin and died for you. It's a love that rose again for you and that gives you life. It's a blood-bought love. It's a Calvary love. It's a love of a quantity and quality beyond compare. No wonder John is still speechless. But the next point leaves him dumbfounded. He says that love is given to you. And to me, it was given to the saints. It really is. John says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. To us. It reminds me of a story about Madeline Murray O'Hare. Madeline Murray O'Hare was the founder of American Atheist. And in her life, she got into some serious tax trouble. Once she died, the government began to auction off all of her stuff to pay her tax bill, and one of the items they sold was actually her personal diary. And in her diary, she writes throughout it these sad words, "Will someone, somewhere, please love me?" At some point or another, we've said that before, haven't we? It's really the cry of the human heart. We want someone, somewhere, to love us. And we do. We have that. It's sad that a person like Madeline fought and rejected such an idea. She didn't have to. God has given us a great love. Given is a wonderful word. It's a gospel word. This love is freely given. It's not based on me, my value, my skills, my abilities, or what I bring to the table. This love is not uncertain or unreliable or selfish or self-serving. In Jesus Christ, this love is guaranteed. It's constant. It's true. It's tried. It's tested. It's unending. No wonder John still can't believe it 60 years later. And this is a love with a purpose and a goal. He says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Simply put, this is a love we don't deserve. We all have problems and issues. We have those quirks and traits that can drive our loved ones and friends up a wall. It can drive them crazy. But we have bigger issues than that, though. Sin. God had other words that describe our prior state before He was in our lives. He would say, enemies, foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved, evil, wicked, rebels, people empty of anything good. And the saints we celebrate today, we're in that same boat too. But through the waters of baptism, God made us His sons and daughters when He buried and raised us with Jesus to new life. And because of that, He has new words and new names to describe us. He says, servants, nation, royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. He says, holy, pure, forgiven, and loved. And best of all, though, His child. We have been made God's children, and so we are. We can see why John is so amazed. He is our Father, just like He was for the departed saints, like Milt and Paula and Terry. And as Father, God promises to provide for our needs, to protect us and guide us. He wants us to call on a relationship that He started. It was His idea and doing, after all. And He has a home prepared for us as well, with Him forever. But unfortunately, though, this relationship is not visible to the world, to the naked eye. We don't look like heaven's royalty or God's children. We don't yet wear the white robes of heaven that we sang about. The crown of glory is not sparkling on our brows. One writer says it well when he says, "The robe of Christ's righteousness, our crown of hope, the diamond of faith, and the pearls of love are invisible to physical eyes. But when Jesus comes, He will reveal it." What hope we have as His children, what hope He has given to His people, no matter what the world says, it doesn't affect or change our relationship or status with God. I think we can see why John is so amazed when he looks at this verse. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. In His name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.